This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05 on a gray Friday. It's July 20th. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got a breezy and humid afternoon, a couple of showers, a little light rain out there right now, maybe a thunderstorm later on, a high of 80.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and on Wall Street. Things a little bit higher right now. Let's get the latest as we check in with Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
That's right, Regine and Chris. A little higher with the Dow up 28 points to 25,093, NASDAQ up 16, and the S&P gaining 2 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.25%. We are not too far from a record high from the composite. The number to beat is 78.55. Right now we're at 78.42. Fresh trade talk from President Trump is weighing on stocks while earnings news is providing some lift. Microsoft seems to have gotten its groove back. The quintessential tech company of the 80s and 90s has been largely left behind by innovations at Apple, Google, and others. People are doing more on their phones than on PCs. But Microsoft's recent push into the emerging cloud storage business has paid off nicely. Revenue doubled almost last quarter, and sales of Microsoft Office 365 also jumped. So that's helping to keep the averages higher. The Microsoft stock does impact all three of the main averages. Oil for today moving above $70, down 1% for the week and lower by 5% so far in July. Back to you, Regine and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, the trade war with China heats up and more office managers are dealing with ghosting. We'll explain what that is.
And on Entrepreneur Friday, we'll tell you about a new healthcare center that makes its model maybe on the gym. You buy a membership and you can go as often as you need to for any kind of basic care needs. Also, a merger in the drug wars, the Albertsons. Albertsons is buying Rite Aid. We'll talk about that. Lots more to come.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A strong job market means that more people are not bothering to appear for scheduled interviews many times, and they even show up for work after accepting an offer. We will cover that in our next segment. And right now, President Trump says he's ready to impose tariffs on all imports from China. That's $505 billion. Let's discuss this with Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thanks for joining us. This is a new declaration just this morning. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's another retaliation. Well, and it's another escalation, excuse me, is what I should say. The president most recently, before today's remarks, put in motion steps to potentially impose, tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods come September. And now what he's doing is saying that he's prepared to propose another set of tariffs that would cover everything. The Chinese didn't retaliate or respond to the last move on the $200 billion worth of goods, and they haven't really responded except with asking him not to be this way. And so here we go. Will the Chinese retaliate? That seems open to question. How will they retaliate? Will it be in kind? Well, no, they can't really, because they don't buy that much from the U.S. in the first place. They only buy about $150 billion worth of things from us. So it's another threat of escalation on the part of the president. We really think he wants badly to get back to the negotiating table with the Chinese. They had a deal in May. It fell apart. And both sides have wanted to increase the pressure on the other side at this point. But that's where we think we are.
Where do you think we should be?
Well, where we should be is with a trade deal that doesn't require U.S. companies to turn over their technology to Chinese companies just to do business, just for permission to come into the door and into China. But the Chinese have resisted that, and that's why the president is taking the steps that he's taking. These are negotiations that have gone on for decades in a multilateral setting with no results at all. The president is taking a very dangerous step by using tariffs to get his way, to get their attention, and he has gotten their their attention. Whether or not we finally see a deal made is going to probably take a long time. Along the way, though, there's the risk that someone could decide to retaliate fully, and then we would have a trade war, which would limit exports from both sides and hurt the U.S. economy. So that's the risk. The potential gain is that you get something out of this that has eluded us for decades.
Paul, who, if anyone, is being helped by this and who's being hurt by it?
Well, consumers are not going to be helped by this. It's going to affect the tariffs eventually will affect consumer purchases of things like electronics. Who else is going to be hurt by it? Producers of intermediate goods. That would be, you know, technology, intermediate technology companies that produce goods that, say, go into larger technological devices that consumers ultimately buy. Who's going to benefit from this? U.S. companies that aren't really associated with trade. Think smaller companies whose markets are mostly domestic in the first place. Small cap companies, we've been recommending those since the beginning part of this year as potentially a hedge for investors who are worried that the trade war will actually develop.
Paul, thanks so much for being with us. Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy for Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Coming up, employers are dealing with a growing number of ghosts, job interviewees and employees who just don't bother to show up.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, employers are dealing with a growing problem in this solid job market. We're talking about ghosting with Michelle Reisdorf, Regional Vice President for the staffing firm Robert Half here in Chicago. Michelle, welcome to the program. First of all, explain to us what ghosting is.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So ghosting is kind of a recent phenomenon that's going on in the market, and it's a combination of a couple things. It could be candidates not showing up for an actual job interview. It could be them accepting an offer, not showing up on the first day, and in some cases even leaving a job without giving any notice.
And it's happening because this is such a tight job market now. They have these options to be able to do something like that?
Correct. You know, with unemployment rate being so low, there is just not a good enough supply of candidates for the amount of jobs. I mean, there's less than one available candidate for every open job that is available in the market today. So candidates have multiple options. And oftentimes you find that they're interviewing, they're receiving multiple offers. They may accept one or two offers along the way, but something better comes along and then they ghost that, you know, initial offer for something better.
You know, we often hear the stereotype also for the millennial worker that they don't have the same work ethic that we've seen in previous generations. Do you find that that's the case as well, or is this just something specific to this job market?
You know, in some cases, I don't know that we've experienced a ton of, you know, saying that millennials fall into that bucket. You know, I do think that they definitely stay at jobs much shorter than we have before and whatnot, but they still tend to be very professional. I think it's really just the demand of the job market and the fact that all candidates, millennial or not, have just so many more options today.
So during the next recession, are these folks going to be coming back and knocking on the door?
Yeah, and that's, you know, probably one of the things that we caution the most and try to coach even candidates we work with about ghosting is that you never know when the market's going to change again and you'll find yourself in an opposite scenario where you're maybe begging for a job. Likewise, you know, clients are also leaving jobs to go to other jobs. So somebody you interview with and or maybe ghost today, you could find out could be a client that you're going to interview at a later time.
Does this happen with high income jobs or job offers?
What we've typically seen is very low end positions, construction, service industry, et cetera. We do tend to find the higher the role or higher the professional skill set, you know, probably the more professional the candidate. They've been in the workforce a little longer. They understand kind of the etiquette and professionalism required.
But this really leaves employers in the lurch then when this happens.
Absolutely. In our studies and research, I mean, we're finding that a lot of employers are finding that almost half of their interviews don't show up. And in some cases, even, you know, if they're hiring large groups of people, maybe 10 people at a time, even half of them are not showing up on their first day. So, you know, clients are finding themselves having to almost overhire in hopes that they'll actually hit the number that they need and that everybody will show up.
Michelle, thanks so much for talking about this. Michelle Reisdorf, Regional Vice President for the staffing firm Robert Half here in Chicago. WBBM News Time at 12:25 as we take a look at what's happening on the markets with Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Well, we are now mixed, Regine, with the Dow up 12 points and NASDAQ gaining 0.9%, the S&P dipping into the red, lower by a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index still higher by 0.2%. A third corporate executive in weeks has left the job over allegations of racial insensitivity. Amy Powell has been fired as president of Paramount Television after what the company says were multiple people raising concerns over comments she made during a discussion about the reboot of the First Wives Club. That's a show with a mostly black cast. Powell says there is no truth to the allegations. This follows the departure of the chief communications officer at Netflix and the ouster of the founder and chair of Papa John's Pizza, both of those due to use of racial slurs. Now let's get a check of the grains markets with Pete Manhard at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have higher grain prices. Corn for December up 4 at 369. Quarter off its high. Novi beans are up 1.25 at 862 3/4. And September wheat up 15 at 519.5. Higher across the board about worries of smaller, especially wheat in the world. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. Crude futures are at $70.26 a barrel, with business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed right now. We'll talk about what's moving the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, a suburban-based company offering a basic medical subscription service.
Jewel Osco parent Albertsons and Rite Aid are looking to join forces.
Chicago police say they've taken more than 5,000 illegal guns off city streets so far this year.
17 people are dead after a tourist boat accident in Branson, Missouri.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 5.5, the NASDAQ up 5, and the S&P 500 down a couple of points.
76 degrees in Chicago right now, a high of 80. We're seeing a bit of sunshine downtown, but we could still see some more showers and maybe some thunderstorms through this afternoon and tonight. WBBM News Time 12:31. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are off earlier highs, now in mixed territory. We are joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors in Chicago. What's going on in the markets today, Jack?
Yeah, hey, quiet day, Chris. We started off pretty strong and we're losing some of our early gains. We had a couple of high-profile earnings announcements, and we had President Trump challenging the independence of the Federal Reserve. So a lot of things to digest, but all in all, kind of quiet trading at the moment.
We saw Microsoft shares higher. They're higher today, and General Electric shares lower. Comment?
Yeah, so Microsoft certainly surging on a lot more cloud business. They're ramping up that activity. Seems that their commercial cloud business is up more than 50%. That's cutting in, I think, on some of Amazon space. They also had pretty strong Surface, their pad hardware, up about 25% from a year ago. So I think Microsoft shares are up nearly 4%. Today, General Electric, unfortunately, the bad news continues. Here's, a company that's had the ignominy of losing its place in the Dow Jones and now, has some lousy results. Power is its largest business and they're having difficulty making some sales.
You know, when you talk about the techs, Microsoft doesn't seem to get the respect that it once did and that some of the others like Amazon and, the Facebook get. Is it underrated, do you think, by a lot of investors?
I think it is. Keep in mind, this is a company that pretty much hitched its wagon to the personal computer. And that did great. But then as the internet took on and things kind of went off the primary hardware, I think investors feared that, companies like Microsoft and Dell were going to be left in the technological dustbin. They have struggled recently, but they have made a big move now under their new CEO, Microsoft has, to move more things to the web. Their new operating system, of course, is pretty much completely cloud-based. So I think that's a move in the right direction. And I know a lot of analysts are pretty favorable on Microsoft. Dell, as you know, was a company that's really stumbled, and Michael Dell, its founder, took it private. I think they're going to try to bring that company back public sometime in the near future.
For a long time in the interest rate atmosphere that we had, for investors, there weren't a lot of options other than the stock market. We're starting to see interest rates ratchet higher, especially for fixed income investors. Are there more attractive options right now than the stock market?
Yeah, nice hearing your voice, Regine.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, I think that the 2-year Treasury nowadays is starting to be pretty competitive. The Treasury dated June 2000 is offering yields of nearly 2.6%. So that's a far cry from where it was a few years ago. And in a market where we're struggling right now year to date to be up around 4 or 5%. Having a lock-in at 2.6% yield is getting to be more attractive. 10-year Treasury still probably taking its cues from the European Central Bank, where in Europe nearly a third of government bonds are trading below zero. And so that yield is not quite as compelling.
We have heard in the last few weeks several people, investors, expressing enthusiasm for small cap stocks. Why at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things weighing in favor of small caps these days. One, of course, is that they do most of their business domestically, and that's pretty good in a world where we're starting to see a lot of trade headlines and tariff threats and the geopolitical activity. So I think here's an area where you have most of their companies that do business almost exclusively domestically, and at the same time, because they do most of their business in the United States, they are the ones that were tagged with the highest corporate tax rates. So now they're the biggest beneficiaries of these new lower corporate tax rates. So you get a couple of these things combined, and it's not a surprise that small cap stocks are doing the best among the major stock markets these days.
Anything else you'd like to put in the basket there? What do you like right now?
Sure. Well, one comment I want to make. It's funny. President Trump did chide the Federal Reserve on raising interest rates, and there is some fear that the White House is going to try to rein in the independence of the Fed. I don't believe that's the case. I think this is just a president who wants to kind of lay a couple of chips out there. In the event that the economy turns down, he has someone else to blame besides his own policies. He can then point the finger at Chairman Powell and say, hey, you raised rates too much. So
even though he appointed Chairman Powell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Fed responds to that. Perhaps because we do run the risk of the Fed being overly aggressive and tipping things over, perhaps. Maybe they'll take a second look at the rate ratcheting. But be that as it may, I don't expect that the Fed's independence is anywhere, any time in jeopardy.
Jack, good hearing from you as well. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer for Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Coming up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a company that provides basic primary and immediate care services via subscription.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. This afternoon, we're exploring the changing face of healthcare and a company that provides service through a subscription plan. We welcome Amit Mehrotra, who is founder and CEO of Ultramed Urgent Care in Skokie. Welcome. Nice to meet you, Amit.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on the air.
So it sounds like this is kind of the model based on maybe the gymnasium, that you take out a membership at a gym and then you can go as often as you want during the year, during the term of that membership. Is that sort of what you've got in mind for basic healthcare needs?
It's very similar in terms of being a membership program with monthly fees and unlimited access to the clinic. It's fairly unique within healthcare to offer that kind of service.
And what kinds of services then do you offer? This is just routine kinds of things, right?
Yes, it's between primary care and emergency medicine care. So one might go to their primary care physician for maintenance of chronic medical conditions such as high blood pressure or diabetes. One may go to an emergency room for a severe health issue such as a heart attack. Everything in between can be covered by an urgent care clinic, and ours also offers primary care services.
And how much does a membership run for something like this?
So for an individual, it is $75 per month. For a couple, $100 per month. And for a family, there is an additional $10 per month charge for each individual child, which we think is very, very reasonable. And in comparison to even insurance premiums, that will come out to be quite cost effective for routine health needs.
We have watched urgent care clinics pop up around the country in the last few years. What is the difference between what you give them and what you give your patients and what you can find in these clinics?
Urgent care medicine has become widely popular because it fills an unmet need of so many individuals seeking health care. It is quick. It's convenient. It's often much more affordable than emergency medicine care, which is why urgent care in general has become very, very popular. Our healthcare delivery model adds on to that this aspect of becoming a member and having very easy and low-cost access to healthcare.
All right. Well, good luck. Thanks for joining us. Amit Mehrotra is the founder and CEO of UltraMed Urgent Care in Skokie. And still to come, a possible merger involving a company that owns Jewel Osco stores.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The company behind Jewel Osco and the drugstore chain Rite Aid are looking to merge. Let's get the latest from Bruce Japsen, a Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, thanks for coming on the Noon Business Hour today. Why is the merge being undertaken?
Well, Chris, Regine, Rite Aid, you know, Walgreens tried to buy all of Rite Aid, which is about 4,500 stores, but the Federal Trade Commission put the stop to that. So Rite Aid's only selling about 2,000 or so stores to Walgreens. So that leaves the rest of their stores. And in this era where Amazon's talking about getting into pharmacy, CVS is buying Aetna, it's consolidation and to survive, Rite Aid's got to hook up with somebody, and so they're hooking up with Albertsons, which, of course, is the parent of Jewel Osco. And so what they want to do is to compete with the Amazon Whole Foods on one level by saying, hey, you know what, we want to offer groceries and health and wellness and all sorts of things and try to get more people into our brick-and-mortar retail stores.
Well, it's a tough fighting Amazon. How would this affect people?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, you know, Amazon hasn't really done much. I mean, just the threat of Amazon has depressed a lot of these shares. Walgreens had great earnings, but their stock is down. And we really don't know what Amazon's going to do, but they've got to have relationships with physicians. But for the average person out there, what they should be paying attention to is that these drugstore chains are forming closer ties with insurance companies and so forth, and they're going to narrow networks. So if your health insurance plan, if you right now get your prescriptions from CVS and Walgreens, you can forget about that in the future. You're going to be guided to a Rite Aid, a Jewel Osco, a CVS or Walgreens. You're going to get basically one choice because they basically say that we can make that less expensive if you choose one. But as we've seen, narrow networks come with a price and the fact that you're going to be limited into the doctors, hospitals, and pharmacies in those networks.
And consolidation usually means higher prices. Is that the case here, or is the drug industry sort of, you know, not subject to the same kind of supply and demand rules?
Yeah, Trump is floating about drug prices. I wouldn't hold your breath on that. I mean, but what you would see, I think, is in your choices. You need if you have an insurance company that has a whole lot of choices, that's going to cost you more. It goes back to what HMOs did. They limited your choices and they offered a lower cost and so forth. So this is their effort to try to keep costs low, but we'll stay tuned on that. I mean, Rite Aid stock is trading below $2 a share because not a lot of people, they have a lot of debt and not a lot of people think they can pull this off. And so it's going to be interesting. I think people should pay close attention to see what's going to go on with all these brick and mortar retails, whether they're pharmacies or grocery stores.
Bruce, thanks so much. Bruce Japsen is a Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes, and you can hear Bruce's reports on health Saturday mornings and Monday evenings on News Radio WBBM. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Check the markets coming up.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour. Let's take a listen with Elisa Perrin.
Well, Chris, we are only slightly higher. The Dow up 15 points, NASDAQ adding 14, S&P up 1. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.2%. President Trump criticized the Federal Reserve's hiking of interest rates. And so now market analysts and economists, including the chief economist at J.P. Morgan Chase, a former Fed vice chair, and a former Treasury secretary, all think that he may end up getting exactly what he doesn't want, higher interest rates. They say that confronted with the first direct presidential criticism of central bankers in decades, the Fed may feel more inclined to demonstrate its political independence and hike rates when facing a close decision. The other factor weighing on the markets, rumors of a $500 billion trade war, President Trump telling CNBC he's willing to place tariffs on everything China exports to the U.S. The president said specifically he's ready to go to 500, referencing the just over $500 billion worth of goods sent from China to the U.S. last year. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.